We also have a new, it's always a little bit difficult to frame this because Chloe's been with us for 9 months now in service regularly, but she's going to be making her first out-of-the-womb appearance here in a little bit. But we want to congratulate Roderick and Charlene on the birth of little Chloe this past week. And a lot of excitement in that family. And we're wanting to share in their joy. Isn't it an awesome thing? We have a lot of brand new fathers in this church. And first-time dads. Over the last year and a half, we've had quite a number of new babies born into this church. And that's what happens when Brother Cornwell comes through and prays for you. And so a lot of you have been beneficiaries of that prayer. And you have glorious little boys and girls in your home now. And it's a great responsibility to bring up children before the Lord. This morning we're going to read in Isaiah chapter 61 again. And we're going to work this one more time here. We've been on it for a few services, but this is a pivotal passage of Scripture. Jesus used it to inaugurate his ministry. He opened this passage up when he began his ministry at Nazareth. And he began to read from the prophet Isaiah. Today we're going to talk about spiritual leadership and use this as a launching point for that discussion. Remember, we don't have service tonight. We're going to give you time to go fellowship with your dads and have a good afternoon. And after you eat that big heavy meal, you can just collapse somewhere. And if you have two sets of dads, you're blessed, and you got to go from pillar to post and see them all. So that's a wonderful thing too. So let's read this morning Isaiah 61, and let's personalize this. Would you say, "The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings to the meek. He hath sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound." In verse 3, "to appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they might be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he might be glorified." Praise God. God bless you. You can be seated. Let's give God praise and thanks for his word that is forever settled in the heavens. Lift him up. Now, that's a spattering of applause. Let's give him praise this morning for his word. We magnify you, mighty God. We lift you up and we thank you. We praise you, Lord God, for all of your goodness and all of your mercies and forever blessing. Praise God. Glory to God. Last Sunday morning, we were working on a subject of Pentecostal theology and demonstrating that there has always been a visitation of the Spirit upon every leadership position and upon every transitional phase in the life of God's people. In the creation, the very first thing you find is the moving of the Spirit of God. And because God predates everything in the natural, we understand that Spirit is primary. That means Spirit is essential. It is the stuff that life is made of. Down at the atomic level, you're going to segue from the natural into the spiritual. And when you get to reading about quantum physics, you see some things that are really, really interesting in that regard. When you get down to the basic building blocks and particles, they are somewhat matter, they are somewhat energy, and they are somewhat responsive to the observer. And those are things beyond my pay grade. But I want you to understand that everything in the natural that you see around you, the Bible simply says that in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Or it, the natural creation came forth from spirit. And so the thing that ties it all together, the motive force and the energy behind it all, the very heartbeat of your life and the fact that you can breathe and all living and inanimate things about you, they all came forth from the spoken word of God. That means that spirit is essential and spirit is primary. And that means you're not going to cure your problems with more money. You won't fix your problems with addressing it in a natural way. I'm not going to deny that you need some skill sets to properly walk through a natural world. But down at the baseline, the answer to all those questions is going to be a spiritual answer. And the thing I need most is a moving of the Spirit of God upon the darkness of my situation. Praise God. Because that's where it all begins. It all begins with things that are spiritual in nature. You say, well, my wife is wrecking my checkbook. Well, temperance is a fruit of the Spirit. And, well, three people think that's probably a good area to talk about, but I'm just telling you, all of the areas of natural conflict are addressed by the Spirit of God. And if the fruit of the Spirit begins to be manifest in your life, you're going to have improvements in every area of your personal life, your relational life. As you begin to build relationships with others, the strength of the Spirit of God in your life is going to make a difference in all of those areas. Praise God. So life gets a lot better with God. But as we were dealing with that last Sunday morning, we were rudely interrupted because we had people begin to be baptized. Brother Cliff brought one up in the middle of the service. We had a baptismal service, and at the end of the service, we had 10 go down in the water in Jesus' name. And that's an awesome and a powerful thing, and we want those kind of interruptions every time we open the door. But we were beginning to talk about the fact that God's spiritual leadership is always anointed of the Spirit of God. For example, the kings and the prophets and the judges. You can go through the history of Israel and find the kings anointed with not only oil, but with the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God came upon David, and the Spirit of God came upon Saul, and the judges like Samuel, and the prophets like Isaiah and Ezekiel. They were moved on and directed by and spoken to by the Spirit of God. And so all of the major players throughout the Old Testament and on into the New Testament are born of the Spirit of God and moved by the Spirit of God. And the supernatural that they were involved in was accomplished by the Spirit of God. It's not by might, nor is it by power, but it's by my Spirit, saith the Lord. Praise God. The letter killeth. The Word of God by itself is a killer. If you're trying to live this without the Holy Ghost, it'll kill you. If you're trying to live this and you're not prayed through, it'll kill you. You'll be so miserable. I'm trying to be good. I'm trying to do right. It'll be like walking through a wilderness. What you need is an outpouring of the Holy Ghost in your life, because the Spirit gives life. The letter will kill you. Jesus told the woman, God's a spirit. Everyone say, God's a spirit. And so listen, the things of God are spiritual in nature. And he said, they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. You have to, I'm not dismissing the word of God. You have to have the word of God. That's what truth is. Thy word is truth. But to make it work, the catalyst for the word of God in your life is the Spirit of God. You have to have the Spirit of God moving in your experience. And everyone said, amen. Praise God. Also, as we're working our way through a discussion of the moving of the Spirit or the importance of the Spirit in the history of Israel or all the way back to Adam walking with God in the cool of the evening, you also find that at important moments in the history of God's relationship with his people, you'll find a spiritual dynamic opening up. It's a portal, if you would, or some rift in the Spirit takes place and God's people move from one dimension to another, from one existence to another. And you'll always find that at the opening of a major spiritual dynamic, like, for example, when Israel comes out of Egypt at the Exodus and they move through the Red Sea is a type. Water is almost always a type of the Spirit of God. And in that instance, the Red Sea is a type of the spiritual boundary between bondage and oppression and servitude and promise. Or liberty. So they're coming out of Egypt, which is a biblical type of sin, and they're coming out of bondage and oppression. That's what sin always does to you. You might think, well, I'm really cool. I'm living in sin, but I'll tell you, you'll wind up in a dungeon of sin with chains of sin, and your life will be controlled by sin, and your promise will be eaten up by sin. And when you get to the end of your life, you'll have a bag with a hole in the bottom of it, and sin will not have served you very well. But to come out of sin, as Israel came out of Egypt, there has to be the opening of a spiritual dynamic. And as they approached the edge of that spiritual dynamic, there was a man there with the Spirit of God upon him and the Word of God in his mouth, and the sea opened up and they walked across on a highway in the midst of the sea. And the opening of the spiritual dynamic was associated with that man who was the anointed of God, and his rod, which was his symbol of authority, and the Word of God and the moving of God's Spirit upon his life. Now, on the other end of that trip, it took them 40 years. They could have made it in 11 days. They should have made it in just a few years. But they wind up at Kadesh Barnea, and they are at the Jordan River, and that's from the wilderness to promise and to obtain all that God has for you. Living for God is not just about coming out of Egypt. You can't live for God without coming out of Egypt. Now, if somebody told you otherwise, they lied to you. If they said you could serve God and just stay like you are, they lied to you. If they said you could have the promise of God and just stay like you are, they lied to you. You've got to become a new creature. You've got to be born again of the water and of the Spirit. You've got to lay down your sin. You've got to come out of Egypt, and you've got to embrace the promise of God in an entirely different universe of living and thinking and relationship. Praise God. And so they're on their way from bondage in Egypt. They cross a great wilderness crossing, and then they're going to enter into Jordan, across Jordan, into Canaan, which is symbolic of the promise of God. And for that to happen, there's water again. And the water there is again indicative of a spiritual dynamic that has to be open before they can pass over. We have a whole nation and all their dreams and all the promise and all that they're going to ever be or do in God, and they've got to cross over this spiritual dynamic. And guess who's standing there again? It's the priesthood, it's the Levites, it's the Word of God, it's the Spirit of God, and it's a guy named by the name of Joshua. And those priests go out and stand in the middle of Jordan, and it's flood tide for Jordan, and the river's covering out of its banks. It's all over in that delta. And God, by his Spirit and by his Word, he backs that river up, and they walk across on dry ground, just like they did when they were coming out of Egypt, out of sin, into promise. It doesn't matter. There has to be the breaking, the opening of a spiritual dynamic, and that comes always with the association with a man and an anointing and a call and the Word of God, and there's a preacher in their life, and there's this authority in the hand of that preacher. And I'm not talking about preachers today. I'm talking about spiritual leadership. And before we get through with it, I want you to understand it's not about the preacher in the pulpit. It's about the daddy in the house. It's about a man that'll stand for his home and his family. And God is ready to take us to another spiritual dimension, and God is ready to bring us out and to take us in. But where is a man that will stand in the Spirit of God and by the Word of God and say, let's go on to another level? My God, clap your hands unto him and bless his name. Praise God. So I want all the dads in the house to stand. Come on, you stood to get your little gift. Praise God. Turn to one of those that are standing by you and say, you're the Levite in your house. Tell them you're the Joshua for your kids. Tell them you are the spiritual leadership of your home. Now listen to me, mamas. I was raised in a matriarchal home. If daddy's not doing the job, that doesn't mean you all go to hell. If daddy's not doing the job, kids, that doesn't mean that you got a boilerplate excuse. Well, my dad didn't live for God, so God can't send me to hell. Well, you and dad are both going to hell. So you better get up and pay attention to business. If a person has to do this on their own, well, you just got to do it on your own. But what we're dealing with is the plan and the economy of God today. And God always uses a dad for spiritual leadership. Now, that's the plan of God. Now, I read in today's headlines that two Episcopal priests had married one another. And those of you who think you just want a little distance from the Word of God, that apostolics are a little bit too radical, that holiness is a little too hard, and you just want to move a little bit, I'll tell you, once you start moving from away from the Word of God, there's no end to that. At the end of that ceremony, the guy said, you may kiss your... How do you even do that? Far from the Word of God. Even in an Episcopalian church, that could not have happened in 1950. People would have torn the building down and there'd have been trouble all over the place. You couldn't have done that in 1950. 1960, you'd have had a hard time doing that. What's happening? What is happening? What's happening to us? People are getting a little further away from the Word of God. They're beginning to say Hollywood matters. The Word of God doesn't matter. Listen to me. You better listen to me. If you got a television in your home, Dad, you better understand there's a preacher in your house, and he's preaching ungodliness, and he's preaching compromise, and he's preaching the world to you. If you've got Hollywood in your home at any level, in any means, you better understand that you don't want a preacher in your life, okay? You don't have to, but somebody's preaching into your life. Somebody's influencing you. Somebody's leading your children. And just like a spirit-led word of God, man will open a spiritual dynamic for you to cross out of sin and into promise. A spirit-led demonic power from Hollywood or somewhere else will lead you into bondage and out of promise and into confusion and will trouble your life as long as you live. I want all the dads to say amen. Amen. Praise God. God bless you. You can be seated. We're going to be a little while, so. All the dads say, I'm the Levite. Say, I wear not the sword in vain. Praise God. Those Levites wore a sword. They stood at the door of the temple. And you didn't come in if you weren't fit. Praise God. And that's what God's called you to be for your home and for your family. It takes spiritual leadership to open up the spiritual dynamic and to keep a family on course for these end times. Telling you, this is going to be really interesting before we get to the end of it. You haven't lived until you've driven through the middle of a major city in the midst of their Gay Day celebration. I saw a guy built like Eric Stokes coming down the street in a little pink dress with a little pink purse and high heel pumps. If you don't know Eric, he's a substantial piece of humanity. And this guy was, it was the kind of thing where you just look, it's like the old thing about a cow looking at a new gate. There are no words for it. There's no file to go to. No, really nothing to do. You don't know about fight or flight. You just can't even process it. It's called stupefaction or being astonished like Ezekiel was. 100,000 homosexuals there for the parade in Montreal. We didn't know that was going on when we visited the town. But it was just amazing. And it is where we're living right now. Praise God. This is not a This is not a message about that. This is a message about spiritual leadership. But I'm telling you, without spiritual leadership, you can go to some places you never thought you would go. You'll stay a whole lot longer than you ever, ever dreamed of staying. Praise God. So where do you want to be in 5 years? Where do you want your life to be? What are your dreams? What do you want your family to be? What kind of family do you want to have? Do you want your son bringing home a nice young man to meet the family? That's where we're living. That's where we're living. And if you're just going along and if you're just like, well, don't give me doctrine and don't give me rules and you're just way too exclusive and your church is just way too hard and you just want to float with this thing, friend of mine, you won't stop floating until you're all in a sewer spiritually. There comes a place where that household needs a spiritual authority to stand up and plant his feet and say, we're going to live for God. Jeff said it this morning. I want every man in this house to say, but as for me and my house, we shall serve the Lord. Turn to somebody else and say, choose you this day who you will serve. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Oh, let's clap our hands unto him and bless his name. You say those things could never happen to me. Friend, you have no idea where this country's going. We are so far away from where the founding fathers directed us. I'm telling you the things that are happening today in the national forum on prime time or in a lot of cultural venues could not have happened 30 years ago or 40 years ago. There would have been such an upheaval. But in that short span of time, minds and spirits have been changed. And it's not just man to man and humanity to humanity, but there are spirits involved with every behavior like that. When you involve yourself with the spirit of the day, you go where that spirit is taking you. And friend, it is not a good place. Somebody say, praise the Lord. God wants to anoint every dad in this house for leadership. God has given you the Holy Ghost, and because you have the position of father in your house, I don't care how emasculated this present culture wants men to be. That's not the man that was preached by the word of God. God wants you to be a man's man. God wants you to be a leader man. God wants you to be a righteous man. God wants you to be a godly man, not some little wimp. Not some little fairy. Man that'll stand for your household and say, this culture's wrong. This world is heading in the wrong direction. And I'm not taking my babies there. And I'm not letting my wife go there. And somebody's got to stand out on the edge of this thing and say, no more. Praise God. I want to tell you, if hate crimes legislation continues in the direction it's going, there's going to be a day when they come to this house and try to shut the pulpit down. They're going to do that in pulpits all over this country. But I've just got to tell you, somebody better get ready to pick up the mantle, because this bald-headed preacher will be in jail. We will not stop preaching the word of God. You say it'll never get like that. It's like that in Europe right now. It's like that in Canada right now. And we're heading that way right here in the United States. You say, well, I don't think you ought to talk negatively about homosexuals. Well, the Bible does. All I'm doing is carrying the mail. Well, you hate them. No, we don't hate them. God loves them. God died for them on the cross. We'll baptize them right now, pray them through the Holy Ghost, teach them Bible study, try to help them get their head screwed on straight, just like anybody else is bound up in any other type of sin. I don't know why I'm spending so much time on this particular topic on a Father's Day, but I guess it's just that. They're blurring the lines. There won't even be a distinction between mamas and daddies. They're letting them adopt children. But God made an Adam and an Eve. That's all you need to know. Praise God. All right, well, let me try to get back in control of myself here. Isaiah 61, 1 through 4. Everyone say, there are good tidings. Do you see that? In verse 1, he's anointed me to preach good tidings. I want every dad in the place to say, there's good tidings. He said, he sent me to bind up the brokenhearted. Would you say there's hope for the brokenhearted? Praise God. Say there's liberty for the captives. Say in verse 3, there's beauty for ashes. There's oil of joy for mourning. There's a garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. Touch somebody by you and tell them God has a remedy. God has a promise. There's some good news in this world. It's not all bad news and it's not all going down. God needs some men to stand and say, there is a good word. Praise God. There are good tidings. Praise God. You can't listen to anything or talk to anybody today without them telling you how bad things are, how awful it is, how difficult it is, how it's just so terrible. The economy's terrible and the world is terrible and life is terrible. Sister Sutton and I were sitting outside of Cracker Barrel yesterday coming back up from camp, and we're waiting there in the rocking chairs like old people. And there's two teenage boys playing checkers out on the porch, and I guess it's maybe a younger sibling standing by them, and he is a little boy, and he looks like he's about 8 years old, and he's got a t-shirt on that says, life is crap. Now, excuse me for using that language in the house of God, but I'm reporting what the guy's wearing out in public. And I'm thinking, he's 8 years old. It ought to be against the law. But my wife said, can you imagine that someone would let that boy out in public with that on? And out of my peripheral vision, in the next rocking chair, I saw a guy stiffen up. And I perceived in my gift of suspicion that I had found Dad. And I didn't, all I said was, what a vision. They're setting this kid up for great things. He's going to go far. He's going to be a whatever he's going to be, he's going to be great. He's going to be a great example of human achievement and an excellent pursuit. Superior in all of his ways. That's what this kid's going to be. You know what this kid's going to be? This kid's going to be trouble. This kid's going to be in juvie before he's 16. He's going to have a losing attitude about school, about society, about culture, about God, about life, about everything, because his daddy's told him life is not worth living. But the word of God said he's anointed me to preach good tidings to the meek. The binding up of the brokenhearted. God has anointed you, Daddy. God's anointed you to do good things in the lives of your children, to do good things in the world around you, to be a powerhouse of strength for your family. Somebody say amen. He hasn't anointed you to come in from work and be a griper and a murmurer and a complainer. God doesn't anoint that. He hasn't anointed you to get all political and talk about how awful everybody is from the president down to the dog catcher. That's not what he's anointed you for. He's anointed you to say, hey, listen, I got good tidings. To say, hey, listen, you got a broken heart, God can fix it. To say, hey, listen, you got ashes, God's got beauty for that. You're in mourning, God's got an oil of joy for your mourning. God will make a trade with you here. Praise God. You got a spirit of heaviness? God's got a garment of praise for you. God has anointed you to preach to your family. God has anointed you to carry the standard of the kingdom of God in your house. Somebody say praise the Lord. Praise God. All you daddies, God didn't anoint you to sing the blues. God didn't anoint you to talk about how bad the boss is to you. If you'd work better, the boss would be better. I'm just a representative of God, and God always puts the ball back in your court. Praise God. I used to pick old Sister Gomez and then Sister Parker up for church Sunday mornings and sometimes Sunday evenings and midweek services. I just go around at some season of my growth in the kingdom of God. That became my lot. And Sister Gomez was a consummate griper and complainer. And she always talk about how bad everything was. And she would always hit her head on the side of the car when she got in, and I'd say, "Stop denting my car, Sister Gomez." She had somewhat of a sense of humor. But Sister Parker was always praying. Sister Parker was always just under her breath, "Jesus, Jesus, 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 Jesus." And when she'd get on a bus and Sister Gomez would be there, she'd start singing, "Oh, there won't be no gripers in heaven." There. Somebody say amen. Amen. You better listen to me. God's anointed you to be a voice for excellence and a voice for good and a voice for promise and a voice for hope, to give hope to those that might not have any other way. Let me tell you, your children can't hope in government, but they can hope in God. Your children don't need to hope in this culture, but they can hope in God. The Word of God has a promise for them today. But your children and your wife need somebody to open the spiritual dynamic and let them come in to what God has. Somebody say praise the Lord. My God. And don't make me qualify this. If you're in a matriarchal household, go at it. God will help you. I'm talking to men today. All the women ought to have shouted by now. I mean, the women, you're just missing a great opportunity to shout and dance. Praise God. Turn to somebody and say, "Don't let the world determine the conversation." Tell them, "Don't let your circumstance determine the conversation." Praise God. Don't pick up on what they're doing and what they're talking about. You talk about good tidings. You talk about oil of joy. You talk about the blessings of God. You talk about the promise. Does anybody here have any measure of victory in your life? Is there a dad here who can say, "God's been good to me"? Is there a witness in the house that can say, "I was in Egypt, but God brought me out. I was in the wilderness, but God brought me into promise"? Praise God. Don't let the world set or frame the conversation. You be proactive about spiritual things and walk up amongst them or set foot into your day and make a proclamation about what kind of day it's going to be and who's in charge and who God is. My God, God's looking for somebody that'll take up the mantle in 2008 and start the day with, "God is good and this is going to be a great day." Praise God. Don't get caught up in the world's helpless, hopeless negativism. Don't get caught up in that. There's a spirit behind that. It'll latch on to you, and you'll be reading from their script, and then you got to ask yourself, who wrote the script? You'll be reading from Hell's Gazette every day of your life and reporting it to everybody. Bring it in the house, and everybody will see a dark cloud enter the house with you. Now, I'm a pretty optimistic guy, and I've kind of always been like that, more so with the Holy Ghost. But I had a dad in my house that when he came in the house, there was a dark cloud that came with him. And when he left, it was like bluebirds and sunshine. Ain't no sunshine when he's here. Boom, boom, boom. And when he died, my sister, who's precious and gracious and kind and just an excellent, excellent person, she said, "I'm glad." Not vindictive, not hateful. Just relieved. Like, get him out of here. Get him out of here. What kind of dad are you? What kind of dad do you want to be? This world will craft you and shape you if you don't have a proactive agenda about what you're going to be in the kingdom of God. This world will make you into a sarcastic, cynical, skeptical, negative person. And you won't feed those that depend upon you and love you. You won't feed them anything but helpless, hopeless negativism. Praise God. Don't let the world set your boundaries. Don't let the world tell you how far you can go and how high you can reach and how much you can have and how great you can be. Don't let the world do that. How many of you hear people around the city and on the job talking about how because of the government or because of this or because of that, they are not able to do what they'd really like to do? You ever hear that on the job, griping and complaining about the circumstances in life and those people that are in power on a local level or a national level? I want you to know God determines your boundaries. I said God determines your boundaries. You don't have to let the world set your boundaries and talk. And don't you ever plant that into the mind of a little child. You set them free. You give them wings. You tell them there is no ceiling on your life because God is the author and the finisher of your faith. Praise God. Does anybody in the house believe that? I believe you can, in a horrible, horrible situation, I believe you can ascend to great things. And all you're doing, if you're belly aching about that, you're looking for an excuse. Just looking for an excuse, somebody to blame. But blame and fault never did a thing, never built anything, never accomplished anything, never rose to greatness. You're wasting your breath, you're wasting your years, you're wasting your precious, precious time. Get it? Get it. Spiritual leadership opens the spiritual dynamic. But it wasn't just Israel that crossed over. It was Moses too. You as a leader, you get to cross over. It wasn't just Israel that crossed over. It was Joshua too. Joshua got to cross over. Praise God. When they're leaving out of Egypt, are you okay? I'm not really angry. When they're leaving out of Egypt, Pharaoh starts to crumble because of the plagues. At first, he said, "Who is the Lord that I should listen to him?" And then the plagues started falling, and he began to reconsider that original position. And he said, "Well, Moses, you can go, but you just go and you leave your families here, and you leave your livestock here, and you leave your kids and your wives all here." And Moses said, "We're not leaving anybody. We're taking everybody." He said, "Well, just go a little ways into the wilderness and then come back. Don't go far. Don't go far." But Moses said, "We're going where God said to go. We're not letting the world set limitations on how far we can go. We're not letting the world set limitations on who we can take." Well, praise God. If your children are backslidden, you ought to be on your feet every day saying, "My kids are going to live for God. My kids are going to be in an altar. My kids are going to pray through the Holy Ghost. My kids are going to be great in God." You need to go bat for those. Praise God. Don't let the world establish your boundaries. You let God establish your boundaries. For Moses said, "No, we're going and we're taking everybody and everything with us. And all we're waiting on is for God to hit you hard enough to make that happen in your mind and in your spirit. But we're going." God will open a door for you. Don't you compromise to this world. God will make a way for you. Don't you compromise. And we've already said it, and Jeffrey said it earlier, but as for me and my house, Joshua said, We're gonna serve the Lord. Everybody say praise the Lord. Praise God. Praise God. We're in desperate need of spiritual leadership. We need spiritual leadership in this house of worship. We need men that will that will be like elders in generations past. When the doors are open, they're in the house of God. They're like clockwork. You know they're going to be faithful to the house. They're not on the bubble. Will they be strong? Will they be weak? Will they live for God? Will they fall off the wagon tomorrow? Are they going to be there? Are they not? But it's just like a big old oak tree out in your yard. You'd be so shocked and surprised if that thing wasn't there in the morning. I'm telling you, that's the kind of men that the Spirit of God will raise up. But he's looking for some willing candidate that'll stand and say, God, make me into a mighty oak that stands regardless of the weather or the condition or the circumstance. God, make me mighty in your kingdom. He said you'd be like trees planted by the rivers of water. Well, praise God. Praise God. We need men that are masculine. I don't mean mean and loud and rough, just masculine. I don't care if you know about all the latest styles in GQ. That's not real important. But when I shake your hand, I don't want to think I'm shaking some little girl's hand. Now, ladies, I know how you hover over these boys, and I know how you want to keep them clean, and I know how you want to make sure that they stay straight. Now, let them be boys. Let them get muddy. Let them eat dirt. Let them eat rocks. I'm already in the doghouse here. I'm in trouble already. But they need to be boys, and by the time they're 13, you need to wonder if they're not half animal. These are boys. These are boys. Brother Larry, I used to teach the Sunday school camp down at Children's Care. There goes a boy. That's a big boy. I used to teach the little ones at Sunday school camp. I found a way that when my kids were in that age group, I got to work in the camp. And when they got older, I got to work in that camp. And when they did quizzing, I got involved in that. Just something about it. I wanted to be where my kids were. But in that little camp, I had like one year had 90 kids in a room about the size of this little corner over here. Had 90 kids in there. And it was great. We had great class first day. Second day, it started getting a little rough in that room. By the end of the week, it was ripe. Those little boys had the same clothes on they had gotten off the bus with. They hadn't seen the inside of a shower stall. Their soap was still in the box. Who's got time for all that? I'm not against hygiene, but I really don't mind a little boy like that. I really don't mind that at all. I just don't want them to be all prissy. Don't make prissy boys out of them. If he starts showing signs of prissy, take him out and roll him in the mud. Buy him a big slobbery dog. Turn it loose. Let him get ticks. We need masculine leadership. Daddy, that means he needs your influence. That means he needs to walk in your steps. I'm glad he loves your mama. I'm glad he's got a mama, but he needs a daddy in his life to help him be masculine. I'm talking about spiritual leadership. We need men that are spiritually motivated and they're bold. And they don't mind walking up in the middle of the job and saying, let me tell you who's got this in control. It's not Congress. It's not the White House. It's not Exxon. It's not Halliburton. God's got this thing in the palm of his hand. And it's going to work out just the way God said. You better get on God's side. Come on, we need some men that'll be bold about the things of God. If you are, your household will be. Praise God. Praise God, confident, godly, Levites, watchmen on the wall, Shamgars, who'll take up a rod when everybody else is gone, and all he's standing in is a bean field. But he said, it's my bean field. And everybody else has run for the hills. Shamgar takes a stick and kills 1,000 Philistines with it. Because he said, now you see, you're not impressed with his bean field. But he said, it's my bean, and that's what a man does. It's my bean field. It's for my house. It's for my children. It's for my family. And I may die right here on this spot, but I'm not leaving this place. The devil can't have my house. The devil can't have my family. The devil can't have the promise of God that God has made available to me. Is there a Shamgar in the house that'll say, I'll fight right here? Is there a Joshua in the house that'll say, as for me and mine, we're going to serve the Lord? Praise God. Praise God. Let me tell you something, Apostolic Church. You let the world determine the conversation. You let them determine the direction, and you'll go down the same road that the assemblies have gone down and the church of God. They used to be holiness, but they're not anymore. They used to have people getting the Holy Ghost every service, but they're not anymore. They used to be hard in the word of God, but they're not anymore. Why? Because they fell in love with the world, and they begin to let the world set the tone of the conversation. You want to go that way, you go on with yourself. But we need some men that'll stand and say, this is God's bean field. This is God's church. This is God's day. Are you all right with this? Praise God. Well, now help me. Praise God. How many of you think it's that our culture is in trouble? How many of you think our country's in trouble? You think so? We got a pretty dark day spiritually. It's going to get worse. It's going to get a lot worse. We're studying in the book of Isaiah. And one of the kings under whom Isaiah served was King Hezekiah. And Hezekiah came after Ahaz. And his dad built pagan idols in the temple of God and offered up sacrifices all over Israel, all over Judah, to pagan gods. Ahaz did. But Hezekiah had an entirely different mindset. And the Bible said he followed after the ways of God with all of his heart. Now, this is after the divided kingdom. Give me a little. Yeah, good. Because they're already fighting sleep. Praise God. And the revolution has already taken place, and 10 tribes have gone north, Israel, into Samaria, and the 2 tribes, Judah and Benjamin, are in Jerusalem, and that's the time of the divided kingdom. And you've got Israel already gone into captivity in Assyria. They're already gone. And the prophecy is that Judah is going to go into captivity also. So this thing's inevitable. It's going to happen. They're on a steep slope, and they are making their way down into destruction. But here comes this guy, Hezekiah, and in the middle of a reprobate nation, in the middle of abject backsliding, Hezekiah stands up and begins to say, no, listen, find the word of God. Let's begin to serve God. Let's do the Passover. Let's clean up the temple. Let's have revival. Let's begin to pursue the things of God. And you know what happened. God, it was 100 years before judgment came down on Judah. In the middle of a dark day, there was a man that stood up with spiritual leadership and began to do the right thing. I'm just trying to tell you, it's never too late to stand up and begin to do the right thing. I don't care what you've lost already, and it doesn't matter how bad it already has gotten. At some point, if you'll stand up and you'll begin to take a stand for the things of God, the power of God will come down on your behalf. Somebody say praise the Lord. All right, Dad, don't you throw in the towel because you've made a lot of mistakes. It's time to stand up. Praise God. But you know, you can lose this in one generation. Hezekiah had a kid by the name of Manasseh. Because he didn't die when he was supposed to. He begged God to let him live another 15 years, and God did. And during that 15 years, he had Manasseh, and Manasseh was a mess. Manasseh was worse than all the kings before him. And he so gutted the spirituality of Judah that it was barely recognizable. And after him, another fallen king. But then in the middle of all that, this kid by the name of Josiah rises up. And Israel has another run at revival. The impending judgment of God is there hanging over them. The temple is in ruins. The word of God has been lost. They have to send in a team and find the word of God and rebuild the temple and just have to start from the ground up. But do you know, during all the time of Josiah, they had revival. They sent to ask a prophetess. The prophetess's name was Huldah. Don't name your children that. And Huldah said, she didn't go see him. She said, you tell the man that sent you. She's talking about Josiah. She said, you tell the man that sent you that judgment has already been proclaimed against Judah and you're going away into captivity. But she said, it's not going to happen in the lifetime of this king. You tell him, because he's had a heart for the things of God and because he's observed the word of God, that you're gonna have a space of grace and a time there where the judgment doesn't come down like a hammer. Do you hear what I'm telling you this morning? It doesn't matter how awful this generation gets. It doesn't matter how dark the day. If a man will stand up with spiritual leadership in his home and in his family, you can have revival right there where you're living. Let's stand together. I want every dad in the house to come down to this altar this morning. As you make your way down, I want you to begin to talk to God and just tell him, as for me and my house, as for me and my house, we're going to serve you, Lord. Just begin to tell him right now, God, it doesn't matter how awful this world gets, I'm going to serve you with all my heart. My house is going to serve you. My family is going to serve you. Hey, guys, come on over here. There's room. The ladies are here this morning. Praise God. All right, ladies, extend your hands toward them. Pray for them. All you young men in the sanctuary, extend your hands toward them. Pray for them. Ghost. Somebody's receiving the Holy Ghost right now. You can get it this morning. Praise God. Why don't you men find somebody to lay your hand on? Take somebody by the hand or shoulder up with somebody there.